JC2S, Part 1. Number 8B.
So now we arrive at the science standpoint. Here we come to science, beginning with mind is mine. Now, as we approach working with the text, we will be working then with the epitomes. So therefore, I would like us to discuss how it is that we work with epitomes. Now, I just have something projected on the screen. We'll come to it in a moment. If you have your epitome book, please turn to page 5. We'll take time to consider what's on the screen. Maybe just take it off, Louisa, then we needn't have to worry about it till we... Now we're going to come to the point of working with the epitomes in the epitome book. And here, then, we want to see how we're going to interpret the text from the standpoint of working with epitomes. How do we do this? Therefore, let's turn to page 5 in the epitome book for the Spiritually Structured Interpretation of the Christian Science textbook by Kappeler. There he gives us, on page 5, how we can work with the epitomes of the textbook. Now, I would like to read then from that part of 5 over to the top of 6. So let's read that together. All right, under the heading, how can we work with epitomes of the textbook? The student's aim. What should be our aim in working with the following epitomes? Different from most interpreters of revealed texts, such as the Bible or the textbook, the student should not expect to analyze or produce a commentary on each sentence of the textbook. Such an endeavor would distract us from what the epitomes are uniquely trying to show. The purpose of epitomes is not to illumine the meaning of each sentence, but rather to reveal the overriding spiritual structure of the text. Accordingly, in working with these epitomes, our purpose must be to use them as a means for drilling ourselves in the categories of being and for cultivating a spiritually structured consciousness. The student's attitude towards the present's findings. How should we regard the following epitomes? One must first realize that these findings are the result of a lifetime of research and refinement. Although this does not preclude further refinement, it does indicate that many years of testing and weighing the findings against the text and the structure of being itself. As a result, the epitomes represent spiritual tones that have been lived and practiced, pondered, not through mere thinking, but through a life experience and a living consciousness of the categories of divine being. In a true scientific spirit, the student does well to accept these findings as a working hypothesis, rather than debating the findings. One finds that it is more instructive and fruitful to ask, 1. What categories are indicated through these epitomes? 2. How does the text express these categories? 3. What is the logical flow, order, and development of these epitomes? If one is unable to answer these questions, the solution lies in cultivating a more spiritual sense of the tonality of the 3 categories of being, the 15 root notions and their ideas. Since only like can understand like, it takes a spiritually scientific consciousness to grasp the spiritually scientific content of the epitomes and their correlation with the text. We must know the language of spirit before we can hear its tones behind the symbols and expressions of the human language used in the textbook. Consequently, when one is learning the language of spirit, it is wise to let the epitomes help in culturing such an understanding rather than passing judgment on the findings before we are fully schooled in the new tongue. How then can the epitomes in necessary conjunction with the textbook further this spiritual education? All right, and he goes on, and we will take up that method as it goes on. So we can see here that we are given a method in working with the epitomes. And so these are the overriding questions we will always have in our mind. We will be asking, when working with the epitomes, what categories are indicated through these epitomes? So we will ask of the epitomes, what are the categories in the epitomes? We're not just reading the epitomes according to metaphysics, according to their ideas or statements, but we want to take it from metaphysics into science, into the capitalized terms, from the 6,000 to 7,000 year period of asking, therefore, what are the capitalized terms behind these epitomes? And then, two, how does the text express these categories? So first of all, we want to see what are the capitalized terms behind the epitomes, and then how does the body of the text bring out these categories? So we're looking not for metaphysical statements in the text, but for the categories behind the statements. And then, what is the logical flow and order and development of these categories? Excuse me. What is the logical flow, order, and development of these epitomes? Then we will see what is the illogical flow from one epitome to another epitome to another epitome. All right? So let's just always keep these big three points in mind now as we work with the text. All right? So now we go to mind. And here now we come to the epitome that the all mind translates the belief of a mortal mind out of itself back into the metaphysics of immortal mind. So now that's the epitome for the whole mind tone, which goes from 108 to 116. Now we'll be listening to that as we go through the mind main tone. And can we hear the categories in this epitome? The all mind, huh? That's what's under discussion is the all mind. But not only is mind under consideration, but there's always the roof category, which is always the place value of the chapter within the textbook. So the place value of the chapter within the textbook is the Christ is the Christ. So that's in this main epitome. We hear then the first translation, don't we? The accentuation now is the all mind. It's the main tone of mind. But we hear the first translation that mind translates. That mind's coming to a situation. And what's that mind doing when it translates? It's going to retranslate out the second translation. The belief of mortal mind, there's the opposite of mind, still within the mind tone. Out of itself, back into the retranslation, what? The metaphysics of immortal mind. So you hear mind, the all mind. You hear in its first translation tone, mind translates. It comes to Emmanuel, God with us. And what's it going to do? It's going to have an effect. It's going to retranslate the second translation, the belief of mortal mind, the opposite of mind, out of itself, back into what? The metaphysics of immortal mind, all within mind. Now that goes on under this main tone of mind. Now, as we come and read here, we'll take it step by step, the mind tone, and work with the epitomes, that mind main tone as it's built up through its subtones. So we come now to mind is mind, and seeing how now that main tone is being brought out. So we hear now that divine mind is the all in all. Now already you see that all mind, there you hear the main tone, that divine mind which is all in all, so that all mind which is all in all. And then it has all is divine mind in its idea, mind. So you have mind is mind. That divine mind is all in all, mind. As mind, therefore, all is divine mind in idea. Hence, mortal mind is an error. So we say to ourselves, all right, now in reading through this mind is mind tone, we want to listen how it is brought out in the text that all mind, the divine mind, which is the all in all, is going to have its effect and impact and show us, therefore, that all is the divine mind. If the divine mind is all in all, then all must be the divine mind in its idea. Therefore, mortal mind is an error. All right, so let's read through this mind is mind subtone, and then we'll come back and analyze it. When apparently near the confines of mortal existence, standing already within the shadow of Death Valley, I learned these truths in divine science, that all real being is in God, the divine mind, and that life, truth, and love are all powerful and ever-present, that the opposite of truth called error, sin, sickness, disease, and death is a false testimony of the false material sense of mind in matter, that this false sense evolves in belief, a subjective state of mortal mind, which the same so-called mind names matter, thereby shutting out the true sense of spirit. My discovery that erring, mortal, misnamed mind produces all the organism and action of the mortal body, set my thoughts to work in new channels, and led up to my demonstration of the proposition that mind is all, and that matter is not, as a leading factor in mind science. Christian science reveals incontrovertibly that mind is all in all, that the only realities are the divine mind and idea. This great fact is not, however, seen to be supported by sensible evidence until its divine principle is demonstrated by healing the sick and thus proved absolute and divine. This proof once seen, no other conclusion can be reached. For 3 years after my discovery, I sought the solution of this problem of mind healing, searched the scriptures and read little else, kept aloof from society, and devoted time and energies to the discovery of a positive rule. The research was sweet, calm, and buoyant with hope, not selfish nor depressing. I knew the principle of all harmonious mind action to be God, and that cures were produced in primitive Christian healing by holy, uplifting faith. But I must know the science of this healing. And I won my way to absolute conclusions through divine revelation, reason, and demonstration. The revelation of truth and the understanding came to me gradually and apparently through divine power. When a new spiritual idea is born to earth, the prophetic scripture of Isaiah is renewedly fulfilled. And unto us a child is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Jesus once said of his lessons, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." John. All right. So now we go back and we're listening to the tonality of that the divine mind, that all mind, now is all in all, mind. Therefore, if mind is all in all, certainly all is the divine mind, an idea, as mind. Hence, mortal mind must be an error. All right, so now let's take a look at the text step by step. And again, we're listening categorically to the text, not trying to glean out of it its metaphysical niceties or metaphysical statements, which are always nice, but we're going to look for the categories behind the text. So we see here that in order to begin to present this subject of mind is mine, that mind is all in all, and that all is mine, she begins to present this subject then through what we can see as the Christ order, always bringing that subject right down to our specific situation, bringing what she has seen as the all mind, being the all in all, hence all is the divine mind. She shows, I'll show you how this is done and how I discovered that all is mind and through the Christ order. This was a discovery to me. So we see she brings us out through the Christ order. She says, when apparently near the confines of mortal existence, standing already within the shadow of Death Valley, as we've already seen, she says, I learned these truths in divine science. I learned these truths from a new origin, from the divine origin, divine science. Now, what are these truths that she learned in divine science? That all real being is in God, the divine mind. Okay, that this is what she's learning, and we hear now this impulse behind what she is learning. I learn these truths in divine science. How? By the effectual working of Emmanuel, God with me. I learn these truths that all real being is in God, the divine mind, in God principle, the divine mind, and that life, truth, and love are all powerful and ever present. And that the opposite, called error, sin, sickness, disease, and death. All right, so we get the modus operandi again, very similar to what she had given to us above in the Christ order, showing us the effectual working, the power behind her discovery. And now what is discovered again? The power behind the learning these truths in divine science was the Christ order of principle, life, truth, love. And now soul, spirit, mind gives us what was discovered. I learned then that the false testimony of the false material sense of mind in matter, the opposite of soul, going out from false sense testimony, then the opposite of spirit, that this false sense evolves, spirit, where in belief, a subjective state of mortal mind, which this same so-called mind names matter, thereby shutting out the true sense of spirit, the opposite of spirit, and now mind. My discovery that erring, mortal, misnamed mind produces all the organism and action of the mortal body did what? It set my thoughts to work in new channels, and led up to my demonstration of the proposition that mind is all and matter is not as a leading factor in mind science. So we hear then that I learned these truths in divine science, that the divine mind is all and that matter is not. And you see here I have mind's basis of the new science, showing that she learned these truths from revelation, reason and demonstration. I'll come back to it. I just had that there as a note to myself. We'll talk about it. All right. Then, so we see now here what is the basic error. Right at the beginning, she shows what the problem is, huh? That it is then that false birth, going out from the false standpoint. And we can see that. If we just take a little a bit closer look at what she says there at soul, spirit, mind, she says, all right, I'll show you therefore what the basic problem is under the mind tone. I'll show you the false starting point, the false origin, the false birth. She says that false origin, the false starting point, you hear mine, that false starting point then is from the false testimony of the material senses. And what happens when we go out from that false reasoning, that false starting point? She says we see mind and matter. Well, that's pantheism, the opposite of soul, huh? That the false testimony of the material senses sees and believes it sees that mind is in matter, the opposite of soul, pantheism. And that this false sense evolves immortal mind, the belief of matter, which immediately shuts out the realm of spirit. So these false testimony of the physical senses testifies and believes that mind is in matter, and that this evolves in mortal mind, therefore the belief of matter, this testimony, therefore evolves in mortal mind the belief that matter is actual, is real. And when this happens, it immediately shuts out the realm of spirit, and it moves within its own state and stages, stage of consciousness. Therefore, she shows then that erring, mortal, misnamed mind is therefore the basic cause of all error, which is again, as we see, false reasoning from effect to cause, which brings about false demonstration, because she shows therefore this mind produces all the organism and action of the mortal body. Really then, as we will see, the standpoint of false reasoning of the traditional scientific method, which we will take a look at later on. All right? So then we go on and see, therefore, she says, still under the tone of mind, this then set my thoughts to work in new channels, and led up to my demonstration of the proposition. So now she's going to give us the proposition that mind is all and that matter is not, as a leading factor in mind science. That's, and you hear the overriding proposition of divine science, don't we? I learned these truths in divine science. That's divine science, always, that God is all and matter is nothing. The all and nothing is divine science. So I learned these truths in divine science with the accentuation here at the point of mind, so that mind is all and that matter is not, and that's the leading proposition of mind science. Now she's showing that these truths in divine science have a multidimensional demonstration. So she starts right out and says, all right, now I've learned these truths in divine science, and we get the tonality of divine science, that Christian science reveals incontrovertibly that mind is all in all. So she's showing the proposition that mind is all and matter is not, as a leading factor in mind science. Therefore, she's showing that is true first from the standpoint of divine science, that Christian science reveals incontrovertibly that mind is all in all, the standpoint of mind in divine science. Then she shows the standpoint of mind in absolute Christian science, that the only realities, the only realities, those only infinite individualities called ideas, are the divine mind in idea. And then she gives the demonstration of that proposition, or the conclusion of that proposition, on the Christian science level. This great fact is not, however, seen to be supported by sensible evidence until its divine principle is demonstrated by healing the sick, and thus proved absolute and divine. brought out on Christian Science. And then she says, this proof once seen, then no other conclusion can be reached. Wonderful. Showing, therefore, here at mind and mind, therefore that main tone epitome that the divine mind is all in all, and therefore all is a mind in its idea, and that is a dimensional proposition, huh? That all is mind, mind is all in all, and dimensionally seen, it brings out the fact, therefore, that all is mind and mind's idea.